Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 22 The Process of Devotional Service Page 29 One has to associate with such a Mahatma. Oh, here, we'll see. No? Yeah. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. One has to associate with such a Mahatma who has accepted Krishna as the supreme source of the entire creation. Without being a Mahatma, one cannot understand Krishna's absolute position. A Mahatma is rare and transcendental, and he is a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. Foolish people consider Krishna a human being, and they consider Lord Krishna's pure devotees as ordinary human beings also. Whatever one may be, one may must take shelter at the lotus feet of a devotee Mahatma and treat him as the most exalted well-wisher of all human society. We should take shelter of such a Mahatma and ask for his causeless mercy. Only by his benediction can one be relieved from attachment to the materialistic way of life. When one is thus relieved, he can engage in the Lord's transcendental loving service through the mercy of the Mahatma. Because we know Krishna through the devotees. We don't know Krishna directly. Because someone says, oh, how do we surrender to Krishna? How do we directly surrender to Krishna? Not Maya, but directly to Krishna. And Prabhupada says, no, you can't directly. You have to through the devotees. Okay, so that's the...
Hmm. I'm trying to understand the dynamics between coming in contact with a pure devotee who has the power to be Krishna. You can say the pure devotee has the power to give pure love for Krishna to anybody. Now, we still have to do the work to go through the sadhana process. We have to do the work to attain pure devotional service. So what is it that the pure devotee gives?
Means when he sees the attitude is good and is sincere, then that's when that reciprocation is there. As Krishna says, as you surrender, he reciprocates.
Yes.
So the point is that it's that endeavor to please Krishna that's working. And then... what's given to us by the acharyas are the recommended processes of devotion that the devotees in the spiritual world use. Right? They're always hearing and chanting about Krishna. They're always engaging their senses in Krishna's service. They're always acting according to their position in the spiritual environment to serve Krishna. Right? Mother Jashoda always does Mother Jashoda stuff. She never does somebody else's. Because the point is each position is perfect. So, when she renders her service in that way, then that is by her attraction, that's her nature. So therefore, the extra she feels then is going to be perfect. So it's not that you have to, by doing someone else's, it might be more. Right, so it's not a profit-oriented endeavor, right? So they can stick to their own activities. So these things then come here as that, according to your conditioning, you render service to Krishna. We may then overlay on top of that our own social values and other material values and needs, and then try to say that, well, it doesn't have as much as someone else and this and that, but that's the point. To Krishna, since you're dealing on the absolute platform, it gives an absolute result. Right? So the person who stays back at the temple and sweeps the temple and keeps it nice and clean, you know, pleasing Krishna, and then the Vaishnavas, they'll come back, you know, from the preaching and all that, and they'll have a nice place. They're going to get the same benefit as the people who go out. That's the absolute reality. We may say, no, no, they get no benefit. We get all the benefit unless they go out on Sankirtan and all that. And then it's, okay, I'll go out. You sweep. You know, no, no, we're not sweeping. Oh, so you're saying everybody, the regulative principle is everybody should, the temple should look like the inside of a traveling Sankirtan Brahmachari van. Right? Yeah, well, that's just, they're just coming back. But I'm saying it's theirs. But who cleans it? When they come back in that, they get some of the ones that are staying to clean it. You know? So the whole point is when you see on the absolute platform, then there are so many problems go away.
Can we say that receiving the mercy of a pure devotee translates into increased faith, and based on increased faith, one has more ability to serve and surrender to Krishna?
That's there, but the point is it's dynamic. As you're surrendering, Krishna's reciprocating. So then he comes in the form of the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, to reciprocate that. So we always have to remember is that we're making our endeavor and Krishna's reciprocating. But it's not that because I made the endeavor itself is what then, therefore, I deserve the reciprocation. I've made the endeavor to please Krishna, and because I'm doing it to please Krishna, that's why Krishna's reciprocating.
Because ultimately everything is based on recommendation. The guru recommends.
Yeah.
Even in the spiritual world, it's all recommendation.
Yeah, no, it is. And those who actually know what's going on in the material world, they know that's how it works. You know, so all these big people that are in their own rights, you know, doing very well, they know if there's some other area, they have somebody who can recommend, who they can talk to, that they will therefore then... You know, we're the ones that know it's our right and we demand and all that, but the people who actually are the ones, the position we're trying to get to by all our demands and marching and that, they work by recommendation. You know? They work by personally interacting, trying to be, you know, following etiquette and all this and that. They don't do that stuff.
So here in this particular section, Lord Chaitanya is pointing, look at the Mahatma, look at the pure devotee. This is where you're going to make your progress.
Yes, yes. Because the point is how do you have a relationship with Krishna? I mean, it's just like, okay, you have an individual. And then there's other members of the family. So what's your relationship with them? Their family, so everybody's exactly the same relationship? No, depends on the connection. Does that make sense? So now let us say, because we're always worried about if we're not right up there in the front, then we're not, you know, nothing's happening, right? But because we're used to, you know, this aspect of time and space. But in the spiritual world, you don't have time and space, you know? So it mentions that when the cowherd boys are sitting in Krishna, they're sitting in seven concentric rings, right? And so, and there's, you know, thousands of them. So that last ring will be, you know, quite serious. But, and they're sitting in a circle around, so Krishna's facing one direction, so you could be sitting, you know, towards the side or the back and all that. So, you know, it's like 270 degrees of that, you might worry that you're not going to get, you know, the proper view and like that. 90 degrees, it's okay. You know, it's like from here to there, that's okay, but everything else, you might not. But every boy thinks Krishna's sitting right in front of him and interacting with him. Right? So, you interact because there's no time and space, but we want to project onto it our concept of time and space. I want to be up at the front. You know? Like so many times, you know, the boys that come up front. I remember once, I think we were walking on the, probably going to walk on the beach at Juhu in the morning, you know, early, you know, after Mangal Arati and before the Darshan. So there was a main crew that would be there, And then after, other than that, then they'd bring different devotees every day. You know, they could come along if they were free at that time and something like that. So one day I got to come along, so we're walking along the back, but, you know, at one point it's a little quiet, and now you're just walking, and, you know, seems to be, you know, I probably walks like this, and he sees, but in the West, you always walk like this, you know. so one wonders, you know, and someone says, oh, you know, the phone is making you like that. No, it would be you were walking like that anyway. You just put a phone, it's like a yoga meditation, you know, you have dharana, and then you put super soul, so you're already there, so you could put a newspaper or put a phone, right? You know, So you're just walking like that and not paying any attention. At one point, I got really close to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada just kind of mentioned, you know, it's just, you know, be aware. Because I was that close, not from, you know, when it just wasn't aware. So it's not a matter of closeness. Right? The closeness is by the instruction, by the relationship, by the connection. That's the closeness. Right? And so, if that's there, so therefore, then why I was saying that is, okay, now for the father, the son is very dear, but the grandson's even more dear. And if you had a great-grandson, so that's the whole point is, the farther down you are, the sparampara, the more kind of sweet the relationship. But you have to have a connection. You can't just, you know, here I am. that's the whole thing that, you know, the sahaja is, you know, you just meditate, you know, the astakaliya lila and all this kind of thing. But you show up, it's kind of like, you invited this guy? No, okay, everyone moves out. You know, you're there, hey, you know. So that's the whole thing. It won't work. It's a matter of, you have a relationship, that's what Krishna deals with, on that relationship, because everything's him, so therefore you have to have a specific relationship. You know? So that's then how you deal. You know, it's like you have the appendage, you know, if it's a hand, you put a glove on it. If it's a foot, you put a shoe on it. Right? And what is it? If it's a ring, if it's a finger, you put a ring on it, right? You know, so that's the whole thing, is you have to see where it is, then you have something. But it's all the body, but it has different aspects, different features, different. So it's all part of Krishna and his energies. But still, there's a specific relationship. So this idea that, oh, without guru or this or that, no, there's no question. You have to have that relationship. Without that relationship, you won't be. That's why. Why then, Prabhupada mentions the point at initiation, that's when then Krishna recognizes that you're serious. Before that, you're chanting and all that because of the holy name, it's not controlled by any rules, then you're advancing. But as far as relationship goes, when you take initiation, why? We'll think it goes to the technical thing, initiation. No, it's because you've surrendered to a devotee. That therefore makes your line. Because otherwise, those who aren't initiated, then most of the time they're not surrendered to a particular devotee. You know, they have many devotees, they appreciate in that, and so from that Vaishnava Sevan, they will advance. But it's when you make that connection, now you have a relationship. You're connected with them, and that then they're connected in this way, then you have the. So that's the important point. We may like the person or not, or think, well, you know, but I made him a devotee, and he was just, you know, Bhakta Jose, you know, like that. And how can he be such a, you know, great personality and like that? But that doesn't matter. That stuff's mundane. It's a matter of there's a principle here, and Krishna wants that principle to be taken care of. Okay. So. Yeah. 2.22.52. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. O King Rahugana, without taking upon one's head the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee, a Mahajana or a Mahatma, one cannot attain devotional service. Devotional service is not possible to attain simply by undergoing severe austerities and penances, by gorgeously worshipping the deity, or by strictly following the rules and regulations of the sannyasa or grihastha order. nor is attained by studying the Vedas, submerging oneself in water, exposing oneself to fire or scorching sunlight. But Srila Prabhupada, this verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.12.12. Jarabharat herein tells King Rahugana how he attained the Paramahamsa stage. Maharaj Rahugana, the king of Sindhu Saurvira, had just had asked Jarabharat how he had attained the Paramahamsa stage. The king had called him to carry his palanquin, but when the king heard from Paramahamsa Jarabharata about the supreme philosophies, he expressed surprise and asked Jarabharat how he had attained such great liberation. At that time, Jarabharat informed the king how to become detached from material attraction. So, the point is, he's telling how it's by surrendering to the lotus feet of a devotee. That will make it work. Because it's Krishna's principle. So, the religious processes are the mediums that you use to express. But until you've surrendered, then they won't have that same potency. Like that. It doesn't mean that after initiation it changes. The same religious principles are used. But now they're in the context and you're following the instructions, because that'll be about Krishna. So that's why then the spiritual masters representing Krishna, they don't consider themselves great. Right? Now here, you surrender to a Mahatma. But, you know, Prabhupada points out that the devotee doesn't think, I'm a Mahatma. He never thinks he's in the first position. He always thinks of himself in the second. He's supposed to make the distinction that he worships the Lord, you know, his friendship with devotees, he's kind to the innocent, and he avoids those who are inimical. And so in that way, then, that's how he sees himself and acts. But it doesn't mean that others don't deal. Because you have to remember, if the spiritual master is representing Krishna, then the point is we tend to look at it, it's all his qualification, whether he can or not. What about Krishna? What about how he does things? Right? Because if he says, only by coming in contact with the pure devotees can you understand devotional service or take up devotional service. Right? But how is it that, again, Bhakta Jose, he goes out on the street, talks to somebody, they come and visit the temple, and then Haribol. Where did that come from? Because Krishna, the chit potency, is working. So we have to remember, Krishna works through these persons. That's how he works. We may like that, may not like that, but that's the reality. So there are certain things that are said. These are what qualifications are required. But at the same time, it's up to Krishna. Srup Damodar makes that point. Who, when, and where you're going to do something, you know, through which person, that only he knows. You know, and Prabhupada mentions that we identify this as in that Madhyama platform. So even the neophytes, they're supposed to look at things that way. They're supposed to worship the Lord, be friendly with the devotees, be kind to those who are junior to them. You know? It means if you don't know, it means in the morning, you know, at Mangalartik, before Mangalartik, you know, just at the Mangalartik, then you have a very short window between when the conch blows and they hand the lamp out. You know, they've offered the lamp and they hand it out. That neophyte brahmachari then sits down and he writes the whole list of exactly from who's the most senior down to who, you know, is the most junior, like all that down, and then he goes around the temple and like that, and you know, sees and everything like that. So if you don't know where you are, just look at that list. Every Mangalartik, it's there, it's available.
What's his name? Shauri Prabhu, you know, the tall, slim.
Oh, yes.
He was interviewed in Prabhupada Memories, and he said when he was a new bhakta, and he was next to the deities, and the pujari was giving the lamp. And Prabhupada sitting on the vyasa, and he went to every devotee in the temple room, and he gave the lamp to Prabhupada last.
Right.
He did the same thing with the flower, he did the same thing with the water.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, because that's there. But also in India, it doesn't matter where you're standing. They don't go around like that. They start here and just go down.
Yeah.
So there used to be, you go down, it would be before you go down one side, probably be there, then you come up the other side and go back and put down the lamp. So they do that with the water, with the flour, everything. Because so in the beginning, that's what they do in India. But now you have that thing is where you zigzag across and someone goes, lamb, no, you know, you have to, like that. They have to do a little practice, you know, in the, you know, the American football, you know, how to, you know, go with the lamb. Stuff like that, you know. Like that, probably if you had some rugby experience, it would work also.
At the end of his interview, he says, now I'm in Mayapur, you know, I'm a senior devotee and I see the lamb going around. And if I think the lamb should come to me first, I'm thinking, no way, man, just let the devotees get the lamb. Just wait for your turn.
Yeah, yeah. Because before it would just be you go up. I mean, now you don't see it, but before there would be two lines. There'd be an empty gap. So you just went down like that. Everyone came to the lamb. As you went up, and then you go down the other side. Then they come to the lamb.
And in Jaipur, they go like this.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, because they got that fence, everything, so they're not going to, yeah. Probably too many lamps got lost, you know. So goes out there, and then some guy puts it in his bag. You
know. Now they have a new rule during the pandemic. The security wallet grabs the lamp, and as you mentioned, like a football player, he runs, and the Hindus, you know, they run after him. And then he goes to the stand, just puts... There's a stand for the fire.
Yeah. Okay.
Right at the back of the Panchatattva, you know, where's the small entrance from, okay, from our side. From
okay.
This side. He puts it there and then everybody comes.
So that must be entertaining. Well, he's going and everyone's following him. Does he get there first? Who goes? I thought, you know, it's a tackle. Yeah. Yeah. So the whole point is Krishna's potency is working. We're able to be taken part. That's why we're an instrument. We always think that we are the cause. We're an instrument. We take it, we're the subject, we're the object. No, we're the instrument. So even in the service, we're following a particular devotee in Vrindavan. They're the servant. Right, they'll be the subject of the and Krishna the object like that. We're the instrument, so it's never that we're specifically the subject. And even if Krishna directly deals with an individual, but it's in the relationship of what they have with who they're following. You know, just like the grandparent may directly deal with the grandchild, but it's because they're related to him through his son. Am I supposed to say that these things? The grandchild related to the parent's child. Yeah, we shouldn't be gender specific, right? This is getting weird. There's laws coming up. I think they put in place in at least, I don't know if all of California, but Southern California like that, that in your store you're selling clothes. And you have children's clothes, you can't have an area that this is girls and this is boys. You just have to have the clothes and say it's for kids or children, or you can't say boys or girls. You know, what if the boy wants to wear the pink tutu?
And go to school with it.
Yes.
I was telling the story to students, and I said, you know, with the flow you go, and I said, you know, who of the girls wants to be a boy, and then I caught myself, you know, I said, previously it used to be like that, now you cannot know.
Yeah, no, it's just weird, it's just, nothing else to do, that's the downside of the pandemic, people sit at home and, I say, they're so busy thinking of all these things. So, does that make sense? So that chit potency is coming through anybody who is not an obstruction to it. So in other words, if you have false ego, that will obstruct. But if you don't have that false ego, you identify as servant of the Lord, then that flows through everybody. Because the point is it's coming to this devotee and he's preached to them and then they're giving to others and like this it just goes down. That's it. Like that. So that's the whole point, is that one has to appreciate that the Lord's mercy is coming down through the devotees. There is no other means. You can say, as though you have to do this or that or being good or so many things. No, it's you appreciate the Vaishnavas, you serve the Vaishnavas, you serve the instruction, you know, and of that service, serving the instruction. Then that's the connection, that's the relationship. That's the potency. So that's why you don't have a problem of that, you know, people can be guru or this or that, because you have the instructions are there, and then others are simply connecting you, as Prabhupada said, the relevant instructions. They're simply giving you relevant instructions. So whether that's in the capacity, you know, as formally as siksha or formally as diksha, but it's the same principle. Like that. So because of the acharya's works, therefore, then we are connecting to these great souls. And then those souls who have that mood and that, and they're helping us connect, that also puts them in there. So that it goes all the way down. So then one sees. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is the... So the uttamas never see themselves as uttamas, they only see themselves as madhyamas. You know, and even sometimes even as neophytes. But they perform, they see themselves as madhyamas, and they're doing those duties. Maybe as personal realization, they'll say they're neophytes. But if someone says, I'm an uttama, like that, then generally you know they're not generally an uttama or a madhyama. Quite straightforward. Yeah? Yeah?
What if the person doesn't say it,
okay, and so now what? Okay, he's an uttama. Now what? And there's no one else who's an uttama? Of course not, right? Then you just, oh wow, really nice, out like that, and then you look at your watch, or you know, excuse yourself to go to the bathroom, or and just stay away from those individuals. Just stay away. You know what I'm saying? If they're pointing out that their guru is an uttama and everybody else is a schnook, then just stay away from them. Respect them, deal proper etiquette, but stay away like the plague. Because they'll only create party politics. Okay. You see, they do all the time. And one of the most fun things is to create that between senior devotees. So they take pleasure and making the senior devotees, you know, have a bad attitude towards each other, because then they feel they've accomplished. They, you know, I'm really, you know, what do you call it? Surrender to my guru. You know. I created party politics, so I'm such a great devotee. So you have to be very careful with that. But if they're just pointing out how they're a great devotee and all that, that's nice, because then they're respectful to other devotees and pointing out how they're that. Then that's good. Right? Like you see is that when they, like in the you know, in the stories, Lord Chaitanya point out how this one's a nice one, and he'll point out and glorify and all these things. So that's really nice. So the difference is you respect Vaishnavas, or you only respect your guru. So if you only respect your guru, at least you're respecting your guru, and we respect you for that. But then if you're thinking that you don't have respect for other gurus, then one should avoid that person's association.
That's one of the amazing qualities of Lord Chaitanya, that he never fails glorifying Mother Vaishnava.
Yeah.
And putting himself there, sir.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the thing. One always has to be very careful with that. So, yeah. So that's standard etiquette amongst senior devotees. Two twenty-two fifty-three. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, unless human society accepts the dust of the lotus feet of great Mahatmas, devotees who have nothing to do with material possessions, mankind cannot turn its attention to the lotus feet of Krishna. Those lotus feet vanquish all the unwanted, miserable conditions of material life. Srila Prabhupada. This verse appears in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.32. When the great sage Narada was giving instructions to Maharaj Yudhishthira, he narrated the activities of Prahlad Maharaj. This verse was spoken by Prahlad Maharaj to his father, Hiranyakashipu, the king of demons. Prahlad Maharaj had informed his father of the 9 basic processes of bhakti yoga, explaining that whoever takes to these processes to be considered a highly learned scholar. Hiranyakashipu, however, did not like his son to talk about devotional service. Therefore, he immediately called Prahlad's teacher, Shunda. The teacher explained that he had not taught devotional service to Prahlad, but that the boy was naturally inclined that way. At that time, Hiranyakashipu became very angry and asked Prahlad why he had become a Vaishnava. In answer to this question, Prahlad Maharaj recited this verse to the effect that one cannot become the Lord's devotee without receiving the mercy and blessings of another devotee. Right? So he says, he was saying he just naturally has that, but he says, no, you can't just naturally have because you've surrendered to a devotee. Mm-hmm. Like that. That's why he has that line. So that's the aspect of Isampradaya. Right? Samanya devotee may have from previous life some you know, sukriti that's there and an inclination. But then you see when they come in contact with the pure devotees, then they take advantage. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like that. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The verdict of all revealed scriptures is that by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. Footnote 30. Moment is translated from the word lava, which is 1/11th of a second. The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot be compared even to the attainment of the heavenly planets or liberation from matter, and what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which is for those who are meant for death. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.18.13. This verse concerns the Vedic rites and sacrifices performed by the great sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi. The sages pointed out that association with the devotee for even less than a second is beyond comparison to 1,000 Vedic rituals and sacrifices. Elevation to heavenly planets are merging into the existence of the Supreme. Right? So, that aspect of the mercy of the devotee, that can't be underestimated. Because you see here is that, where is this mentioned? This is mentioned after he mentions the 9 processes of devotional service. And then how you come to perform that? By the mercy of the devotees. And why you're doing devotional service? Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where is part and parcel. Mm-hmm. Right? So in other words, it's inherent to the Abhideya Tattva, mm-hmm. to the practice. So that has to be appreciated. Because otherwise, sometimes some will take the aspect of the, you know, those who are more obviously advanced. You know, like the you know, our acharyas and the line and all that, then it's okay. But others, then they don't want to see them worshipped. But then the problem is then you get in the way of the process. And if you get in the way of the process, and they're not surrendering to the devotees, who are they going to surrender to? Right? Their mind, their senses, you know, social construct, you know, all these other things. You know how you say. Worldly benediction form material prosperity, which is for those who are meant to die. Right? So that's what'll come up. So again, like Prabhu pointed out before, you know, in what was in 300 AD, then the council at Nicaea, the second council, or what do they call those? Or whatever, the council, right? They got together and decided that, reincarnation is not part of the doctrine anymore. Even though one of the most senior preachers, I think his name is Origen, he was well respected and he was one who preached it very nicely, but they cut him off saying he's not bona fide anymore. And so then this was not really accepted very well. I mean, half the church accepted, the other half didn't. Took them another 70 years, and they accepted it. So then from that, the idea was to make people serious about this life, because they think they have more lives than, you know, like sometimes they see is, well, you know, I can't do maybe next life and this and that. So they won't get serious. But at the same time is then, since you only have one life and they have material desire, they get serious about their material life. And so it backfired. Instead of getting serious about the spiritual life, they got serious about the material life. So one has to be very, very careful if you remove the worship of the guru because, you know, certain individuals don't deem another individual who, you know, is an initiating spiritual master, you know, as elevated as the acharya. Therefore, he shouldn't be worshipped, and no one should see that because you don't want to offend people's finer sentiments of, you know, envy and jealousy of Vaishnavas, right? You know, because it's an important finer sentiment, right? That's why we, you know, drinking milk to develop the finer brain sentiments so you can properly be envious and all that. You know? Oh, yeah. And you don't drink milk. Then it'll just be grosser envy in that. It won't be refined envy. Okay, so that, then the problem comes is that if they can't worship their guru, which is the most important, their connection, they won't worship anybody, so they don't respect any authority, and then there's no authority in the society, and you have to put more and more people in more positions to try to create some form of society for that. And in fact, you know, you have the thing that this is what it is, this is your position, but they have to give other nomenclatures to prove that, no, we're the supreme authority. And so all these things come up because of this one thing. You know, so one has to be very careful. You can't change religion. You know, you just don't. Does that make sense? You just don't change religion. Because as it's given by the acharyas, that then we have to follow. If you change it, then there's going to be a problem. Because the acharyas know what's right. They're correct. Krishna knows what's right. They're all on the transcendental platform. We are standing in to help with that process. We give relevant instruction, but that just because we're giving relevant instruction doesn't mean the chit potency doesn't flow. So to not respect that flow of the chit potency means you're not actually respecting the parampara. You're not really respecting the authorities. You know, so if the acharya can't produce people who can follow and do the work, you know, then how is that respecting the acharya? Right? He's not powerful enough to make others like him. And so in the same way, is then these same individuals, they can't make anybody else on a level to do the service they're doing. Hence the constant talk about succession. The people who have respect for authority, they already have three or four lines of succession already going on. And the ones that don't, it's only the acharya and nobody else, they can't find anybody. Because if Prabhupada can't create, they won't be able to create. You know? Isn't it? Isn't there some shloka, not together, not this, not if they have counsel, not all these things? Isn't there a verse like that they can't attain, understand? I don't remember the wording, but there's some verse kind of like that. Doesn't matter what they do, they won't work. So one has to be very careful, is that that Krishna's involved. We can't have the thing where we only look at it from our perspective. That in my mind, you know, they're not. But the point is this, no, you have to see is what's the effect? Are people taking up? What's going on? So, yes?
You can say, in other words, that the Vaishnava philosophy is manifested in the person, not in some impersonal body.
Yes. And you have to be, yes. It's not that. And it's in a person, at the same time you have to be practical. All the devotees come together, they go to Prabhupada's Guru Puja, that's practical. But every devotee should be encouraged to worship their guru. Like that. Not that, oh, no one else should see. That's just envy. You know what I'm saying? You know, bad quality, you know, it's just impurities. You know, so maybe you don't have a formal one in the temple, but it doesn't mean that they shouldn't be encouraged to do their own. You know, not that it's hidden and no one should see, and if anybody sees, you've committed the greatest offense because you, you know, again, you know, how you say, you know, are disturbing their finer sentiments of jealousy and not accepting the Vaishnav, you know, position, and, you know, all these kind of things. So that you can't do. Point is it's there, it's important, it has to be there, because otherwise if you don't, you throw it out, you throw out everything. Like that. Because we have to remember, it's individuals who are working together. So if the individual isn't developing, the group won't develop. So you have to see to that. But it's not that, oh, it's all about the individual. Because the point is no, you have to make a group effort. That's the Sankirtan mission. You have to make a group effort. But at the same time, is the group effort is made up of individuals. So you have to see that balance.
Maharaj, it's actually, for me, it looks like it's connected to the what we are speaking in the lesson before, you know? This is like contamination or some residue of that same kind of voidistic philosophy. You know?
Because then it's authority. Yes, because Krishna's authority, Guru represents Krishna, so if we don't like, you know, so, okay, we'll accept Prabhupada, but we won't accept others. It's the same thing. It's just, you know, okay, you know, I have to deal with this. I have to accept it, but I only accept it this much. You know, so it's just impurity. So by association, by devotional service, by chanting, these things will go away. But one should be very careful about them, because otherwise they create problems. Like we mentioned, if you throw out the guru, you throw out all authority. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Krishna is so merciful that simply by aiming his instructions at Arjuna, he has given protection to the whole world. Because you are my dear friend, I am speaking to you, my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Footnote 31. This is a quotation from the Bhagavad Gita, 1864-65. Although Krishna previously explained the proficiency of executing Vedic rituals, performing fruitive activity, as enjoined in the Vedas, practicing yoga and cultivating jnana, these last instructions are most powerful and stand above all the others. If the devotee has faith in the strength of this order, he worships Lord Krishna and gives up all other activities. As long as one is not, he gives up all other activities. So, in other words, these aspects of the proficiency of Vedic rituals, fruit of activities, enjoying the Vedas, right? Not fruit of activities, he make it up. Practicing yoga and cultivating jnana. Then these, seen in the light of the devotional service, and these verses that Krishna gives, then they have value, then they have potency. So then those aspects of the rituals, of the Varnashram system, of the yoga, of the jnana, of these things, whatever is useful in devotional service, that's used. And what's not is not. So that's why he said if you just do devotional service, then everything is already accomplished. Yes. It doesn't mean the devotional service is something separate, because otherwise then what's devotional service? Yes. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So one has to see is that devotional service already includes them. Because devotional service means taking your senses, using the service of the Lord. How you're engaging the senses, it may have that karma yoga, jnana yoga, jnana yoga aspects to it. But the point is it's being done through that medium. Mm-hmm. So the point is you're trying to attain this understanding that it's all about Krishna. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage to me. So everything you do is offered to Krishna. Yes. Whatever it is, direct, indirect. Mm-hmm. So that's the point, is that stands above the others, because then the others have meaning, because then it's about here. Because before he explains, what is karma, yoga, what is jnana, what is the nature of the soul, how to do work, what's proper, what's pious, what's impious, all those things. Then you know that's the field you use. But in a field, you're trying to accomplish something. And what you're trying to accomplish, there's a purpose to it. Right? So it's just like you're in the kitchen. In the field, you're cooking a preparation for a particular purpose, to please someone. Right? Does that make sense? So that has to be understood. These higher ones doesn't mean that the lower goes. Just because you're cooking for Krishna, then it doesn't mean now all the rules of cooking go out the window. Oh, no, you don't have to cook it that way. You know? You don't have to boil it for 20 minutes. You know, 2 minutes is enough. You know? Krishna likes things crunchy. Yeah? So, if the devotee has faith in the strength of this order, he worships Lord Krishna and gives up all other activities. Quote, as long as one is not satiated by fruit of activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravanam, Kirtan, and Vishnu, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23, one who has to act according to the regulated principles of the Vedic injunctions, footnote 32. This is a quotation of Srimad Bhagavatam 11.29. So if it's an 11th canto, you know it's summing up things. Right? You can't say, well, that was just a specific situation. No, this is giving the overall how you understand that. So that means you're going to have to act according to the regulated principles because you think in that way. Right? If you're going by the previous page here, as long as one is not satiated by fruit and not awakened his taste for devotional service. Though the taste for devotional service, you're going to be engaged in devotional service. Mm-hmm. But if not, then the regular principles, that will make you then be focused on Krishna. I have to do this activity and this activity, and if you ask, oh yes, it's for Krishna. But most of the time, we just see the sadhana. Yes. Right? While the spontaneous devotional service, that means you see the service, the Krishna, the taste of that.
Yes.
The form doesn't necessarily change. Yes. But the perspective does. So you're doing karma yoga when the karma is more prominent. Spontaneous devotional service about the yoga, you may be doing it in the field of karma. Does that make sense? It reverses.
Yeah, I was thinking that the obvious conclusion, if we look at Satkaryavad, that the Abhideya is the cause and the Prayojana is the effect.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, if we look closely, Prayojana is the cause and then Abhideya
is the effect. Yeah. And then, from that down, then the field is further. That's why then it's considered the lowest. But from inductive, we'll look the other way. That's why we, thinking in that way, will think, no, it's the sadhana that's making it happen. No, it's Krishna wants you to do devotion, and that's expressed through sadhana. That's why Abhideya is there. Right? And that Abhideya is generally in a particular situation. So that's the field. Fortunately, the holy name, it doesn't worry about the field so much, then we can always chant. Otherwise, if it had strict rules like the other aspects of karma and jnana, when would we ever get a chance to chant? You know? No? Shraddha is confident, firm faith that by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. Such faith is favorable to the discharge of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada, firm faith and conviction, confidence are called Shraddha. When one engages in the Lord's devotional service, he is to be understood to have performed all his responsibilities in the material world. He has satisfied his forefathers, ordinary living entities, and demigods, and is free from all responsibility. Such a person does not need to meet his responsibilities separately. It is automatically done. Fruit of activity, karma, is meant to satisfy the senses of the conditioned soul. However, when one awakens to Krishna consciousness, he does not have to work separately for pious activity. The best achievement of all fruit of activity is detachment from material life. And this detachment is spontaneously enjoyed by the devotee firmly engaged in the Lord's service. Right? So the fruit of things is supposed to bring you to renunciation, right? Because by doing karma, then knowledge and detachment come. So then that's the fruit of karma. Mm-hmm. Right? And so then you're able to see that in Krishna's service. So you're seeing the activity in Krishna's service, you're seeing not attached to material activity, and you have knowledge about Krishna and about how, you know, the jiva, the material world, and Krishna, then it's, Prabhupada says, then the devotee, he enjoys that. You know? His position, he's situated on that platform that the benefit of knowledge and detachment, he's getting that benefit. Mm-hmm. Right? So the point is that being firmly fixed in devotional service. Here, Shraddha is confident, firm faith that by rendering transcendent loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. Right? So that means devotional service is all that has to be performed. So if there's some weakness in devotional service, what's the correction? Devotional service, not some subsidiary activity, you know, especially of so-called goodness. Right? You can't lift the quality from the mode of passion, from pranamoy, and then label it as goodness and say, no, without that we can't perform devotional service. Because unless that can be shown in the context of the scriptures and how it's done there, you know, what is the method, what's the form, then know it that, one, it's not pure shuddha-sattva, it's not sattva, it's mode of passion. Because the idea is, no, I buy this, I'll get something. No, I'll please Krishna. That's what you're trying to do. That's the natural nature.
That's why the process of atonement is rejected.
Yes.
Only purificatory process, just more service.
Yes. If you've done something wrong, the correction is do more service, and that will purify you so you don't do something more wrong. But this insistence on this prayaschitta means mundane consciousness. Means, you know, just directly, it's mundane consciousness. So the point is no, you have to find, if someone's having a problem in one service and they're getting distracted by Maya, find them a full-time service where they won't be distracted by Maya. But it's not about by prestige, it's not about this and that, but we throw that in on the pile. You know? And then, having run them through their prayaschitta, we don't feel they're purified. So what was the point of the prayaschitta?
So we're on them through again. Just to get the feeling. You know?
Yeah, well, that Duryodhana had that idea. Go to the forest for 13 years, then when they come, we'll send them again, you know, like that. That was his idea. Yeah. So, like that. But if this, what is it called? What's that guy? Mr. Musk?
Yeah.
You can get this thing, shuttle service going to the other planets, and all these guys we can just send to another planet, then we solve the problem.
Previously they would send them to Australia.
Yeah, previously they sent to Australia. It's considered that.
Now it's not far enough.
They used to send them to Mauritius.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
Mauritius, yeah.
Huh? But it's so small.
That's why it's traveling.
That would be interesting. You know, everybody, you know, said, suddenly the temples and the yatras in Australia notice that so many devotees are showing up, but they're only coming with one-way tickets. You know, so I said, I don't understand. You know, I said, yeah, you got a bunch of, yeah, I got 10 guys showed up. You know, like that. Cool. Yeah. So that's faith. That means you're fixed. So if there's any idea that something else is necessary, that means then one's not firmly fixed. Yeah, firm faith. One that has faith. Because that's why anybody in devotional service, they have faith. That's why they're here. And so that faith in itself, they'll progress in devotional service. But firm faith means they think no, nothing else other than devotional service is progressive. Right? And so with that, then it becomes very dynamic. When one advances very dynamically. Before that, then it may be slow, it may be ups and downs like this. Right? So it makes sense, yeah. 2:22:63-64. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. By pouring water on the root of a tree, one automatically satisfies the trunk, branches, and twigs. Similarly, by supplying food to the stomach, where it nourishes the life air, one satisfies all the senses. In the same way, by worshipping Krishna and rendering him service, one automatically satisfies all the demigods. Footnote 33. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 4:31-14. Right, so that's why, as Prabhu mentioned, we don't have to worship demigods in that. The Shraddha rite goes out because it's not necessary. The purpose of that is already obtained. But let's say, washing your hands after you eat, you can't say, well, I chant so I don't have to wash my hands. No, these things are just normal things that you do. The cleanliness and all these things are used in the Lord's service. So those things that are favorable, that are given, those are used. And then those things that are extra, that have the kamika aspect, but I get benefits from that, those can be dropped. Like that. A faithful devotee is a truly eligible candidate for the loving service of the Lord. According to one's faith, one is classified as a topmost devotee, an intermediate devotee, or an inferior. So it's faith. So we can see is that this firm faith, that confident firm faith, that's then where, that's the beginning where Prabhupada says that advanced devotional service. That's why. The Madhyamika platform, then that nishta is because nishta only comes by having that firm faith. Then you can say they're the beginning of advanced devotional service. Right? We may like it or not, but that's just the way it is. Does that make sense? Yeah. So one's not distracted. So that's then what makes the decision. Yeah?
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.